The following show is a replay of KTQA Daily Briefing. For more information, please call 253-330-8821 or visit us online at daily.ktqa.org. Good afternoon. It is about 3:34 on Tuesday, April 21st, 2020, and you're listening to the KTQA Daily Briefing. I'm back. My name is Sam, and with me is Becky. How are you, Becky?
I'm well, thanks. How are you, Sam?
I'm doing okay.
Did you have a nice afternoon off, leaving me to struggle through my first time doing the Daily Briefing all alone?
I like this image that you're giving that I'm out like smelling the roses or whatnot.
And the poor beleaguered Becky is sitting behind the board for the first time.
Becky is doing all the work.
Not at all the case, is it?
I'm a little rough today. I was really rough yesterday. It's stuff that just takes me out of things every now and again. The medication is sort of working.
I'm glad to have you back today, Sam.
Yeah, it's not cogent to what we do on the Daily Briefing, so I don't like to discuss it. And if we weren't practicing social distancing, I'd have backups for the backups, and then backups for the backups for the backups. I'm very much a belt and suspenders kind of guy. But right now, I kind of have to go with what we got.
We're a little bare bones here.
Yeah. So, and this is why I want this to be a community project and not just you and me. So if you'd like to participate, you can email us at daily@ktqa.org. Becky, you did a fine job yesterday.
Why, thank you, Sam.
No problem. And you're doing a good job today. I'm recovering. You're dealing with the vagaries of trying to build a new educational infrastructure, basically whole cloth. So,
well, that's certainly a picture you've painted of me. That's very lofty.
Well, you and the rest of the
society.
Well, Washington State teachers right now.
Yeah.
So I think a little bit of flexibility and understanding is called for.
Well, I appreciate that very much.
All right. So why don't we get to today's updates?
Yes. State level updates on COVID-19 can be found online in multiple languages at coronavirus.wa.gov. Dialing 311 will get you to the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. Health department officials are staffing the coronavirus Q&A line 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week, at 1-800-525-0127. For interpreters in other languages, press pound when they answer and say your language. You can also now text the coronavirus hotline at 211-211. That's in any language. And dialing 211 will connect you to community resources statewide through the United Way. You can also visit wa211.org online.
Moving on to Washington State, Washington residents with federal family education program loans or private student loans can now contact their student loan servicer to learn about newly available relief options. Borrowers can visit nslds.ed.gov or call 1-800-433-3243 or check the contact information on their monthly billing statements. Washingtonians on Medicare are being targeted by scammers who may be emailing or calling seniors and offering coronavirus vaccines. There is no vaccine currently available for the novel coronavirus. Anyone who has questions or concerns about potential fraud is asked to call 1-800-562-6900. Washington residents who may want to apply for Disaster Cash Assistance Program can now visit WashingtonConnection.org or call 1-877-501-2233. The program is available to Washingtonians regardless of citizenship. So we talked about this earlier a couple days ago, I think on the Sunday briefing, and their website and their email address was kind of difficult to describe over the air. And as I said, you usually get it working first and then worry about the visuals later. And here we are. It's a couple days later and they have a nice website at WashingtonConnection.org and an easy to remember phone number at 1-877-501-2233. That's how technologists work. What can I tell you?
We still appreciate you, Sam.
Moving on to Mount Rainier National Park. Mount Rainier National Park is celebrating National Parks Week through social media while the park is closed to visitors. Today's theme is transportation, and tomorrow is Earth Day. Earth Day. Not Earth Derm. Info and activities are found on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, Carrier Pigeon, what have you, at Mount Rainier NPS.
So the Tacoma Public Schools, the Tacoma Public Library is hosting a lunchtime story hour on Mondays and Thursdays at noon through May 14th via Facebook Live. You can go to facebook.com/Tacoma Public Library and search for events. Tacoma Public Schools also has lessons available on its website to help support child and family well-being. Links can be found at tacomaschools.org on the resources tile.
All right. Well, that's what we've got for updates today. Hopefully we can schedule a little bit better tomorrow for the both of us, and we can be a little bit more timely, maybe.
We'll shoot for that, yeah.
We'll shoot try. For that. All right. You can dial 311 for City of Tacoma non-emergency information line. 211 will connect you to statewide resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org. Our phone number is 253-330-8821. Now onto the interview.
With me today is Christopher Ubelhar. He is the executive director of the Job Carr Cabin Museum. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Becky.
So many of us who've gone through Old Town Tacoma will be familiar with Carr Street and possibly this little cabin that's near the playground. But what is this museum all about?
Job Carr Cabin Museum is a replica of Tacoma's first permanent non-native residence. So kind of Tacoma's first pioneer cabin that was built just about two blocks from where this reproduction was. So kind of the bottom of Carr Street. There's a old memorial that shows where it was. And so this cabin was rebuilt in 2000 with the mission of bringing Tacoma's birthplace to life through interactive learning for elementary students in our community. So we have a living history museum that is generally open Wednesday through Saturday. And there's period furnishings here and some exhibits that rotate on Old Town history and early Tacoma history and Oregon Trail things and pioneer history. And then we do lots of stuff for educational outreach. So lots of field trips come through here, and we send out traveling trunks to schools and have all kinds of events and activities throughout the year.
I'm glad you mentioned Oregon Trail, because there's like this storybook sort of sounding line about Job Carr deciding to seek his fortune in the Pacific Northwest, and he sells off his farm and he heads west in this oxen pulled wagon. Was it really that much like how those of us that grew up in the 80s treasured playing Oregon Trail the game?
I'm not sure exactly about that, but I'd like to think so.
But he made it all the way here, didn't run into any cold weather, die of dysentery along the way.
He did not die of dysentery on the way. I'm sure he probably found some cold weather. And he came out here with just his cat, Tom.
Oh, okay. So a fellow after my own inclinations of being kept company by feline companions. I like that a lot. But he also had a family, right, that eventually joined him?
Yeah, he did. So he was a really interesting figure in general. He was a Quaker at the time. He lived in Indiana for most of his adult life before coming out here, but from New Jersey originally. He had two sons and two daughters. When Job Carr was about 48 years old, he enlisted in the Union Army during the Civil War.
That's really strange for someone who is a Quaker, because Quakers are known for being pacifists and avoiding being in the war. So that's, I guess he strayed from his faith a little bit in that respect?
Sort of. He was also an abolitionist, so I'm sure there was some conflict there, but that sense of equality there, I think, overrode the pacifism, I suppose you could say. And his two sons also enlisted, and his daughters were involved as well. And so Job was discharged after being injured a couple times and decided that he was going to make some changes and head out on the Oregon Trail towards the Washington Territory, where he could stake a claim on land. So his two sons were still in the war. His wife decided not to join him. And so they separated, and he came out here, like I said, just him and his cat. And that was in 1864.
There's also a lot of railroads that are being built at this time. He got here, though, before Tacoma's rail terminus really got here, I guess, if I have my dates
right.
Yeah,
you do. And he got here, and kind of his idea for coming out here was that the Transcontinental Railroad was going to end somewhere in this region. And his idea was to head out this way stake his claim on some land that he would kind of promote as the potential terminus for that. And so on Christmas Day, 1864, he was paddling out in the Puget Sound and saw the spot that's today Old Town Tacoma. And as the story goes, he said, "Eureka, Eureka, there is my spot. That's where I'm going to stake my claim." And shortly after that, he began building his cabin and finished the first version of it in 1865. And I should mention that both of his sons did end up coming out to Tacoma after they finished up in the Civil War. His daughters came out, and his then ex-wife came out, too, later in life.
Huh, interesting. So he built his cabin from logs. He must have felled them himself if he was the only guy out here solo. He wouldn't have left it to his kitty. Any elementary kids who come by and hear that story, do they liken it to sort of Minecraft? You know, one guy solo, just, you know, chopping down wood, building their little rudimentary structure?
Yeah, I think so. I'm sure that's in the back of many kids' minds when they come in here.
Another thing that's in the back of my mind is you've talked about him staking his claim to land. And of course, we know mm-hmm. that this is the land of native peoples. What kind of interface does the Job Carr Cabin Museum have with the history of European descended settlers coming here versus the native indigenous communities that were already here?
So when we do any of our programming, and we always acknowledge that this land of the original cabin and where we are today was traditional Puyallup land, and we have a placard on the front of the cabin that says that as well now. And so when Job Carr staked his claim on this land, the reason we say he was the first successful non-native settler, there were white settlers here before him in the 1850s. But what happened was the Treaty of Medicine Creek was signed, and it was incredibly unfair to the native peoples that were around here, but it did establish the reservations at that point. So when Job Carr came out here, this land was not reservation, and so he was able to acquire it.
And what are some of the things that are going on now? I mean, you said typically the museum's open Wednesdays through Saturdays, but this is not a typical time right now. So the second grade class can't come and do their field trip as they normally might in the springtime. What's going on now?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, I was looking at, before we talked about the list of all the field trips that we missed out on. Normally, springtime is just buzzing with elementary school kids here pretty much 3 out of 5 days of the week. And we missed out on about 31 different school groups this spring, unfortunately. We're adapting. We look forward to welcoming them all back next year, hopefully. And in the meantime, we've done a lot to offer new things online. So we have one fun thing is a Cabin Kids Art Challenge. So every Monday on our social media, we announce a new theme. And so those themes have been log cabin, Oregon Trail, trains, post office, boats, mountain. They're coming up all the way through May. We have new topics, and eventually we'll have a bracket theme so people can vote on their favorites and ultimately have a winning artwork that will be awarded a prize.
Can big kids participate in art challenges?
I think it's mostly elementary school is kind of what we aim for.
Okay, I'll hold off from submitting my own.
You're welcome to submit one just for fun, though. We're not going to send it back to you. And it's all just take a photo of the artwork and email it to us. So it's really easy. You don't have to mail anything to us.
How do they email it in? What's the email address?
It is info@jobcarrmuseum.org.
Okay, and we should say
all that info is on the website.
Car is with two R's, right? Not like the vehicle.
That's correct.
Okay, yeah. All right. So you've said that, you know, the audience for the museum is largely elementary school age kids. You've talked about how typically there's some field trips, but it looks like there's also things that kids can do that the museum, I guess, facilitates without kids coming there. You talked about, I guess, museum in a trunk that gets out to different groups or classrooms?
Yeah. So we have our Traveling Trunks program, and that is a really important program to our mission. And what that is we have about 17 of these large plastic trunks, and they're full of third and fourth grade curricula that we send to schools to supplement the social studies learning. And so those, they reach a about 3,500 kids a year. And so teachers can rent them. Everything is free that we do, by the way. Teachers can rent them, and they contain about 25 days worth of lesson plans. And it's all related to Oregon Trail history and Pioneer history and early Tacoma history. We're starting to incorporate much more information about Native American history in the region and in our traveling trunks. So while we have this downtime during the this crisis that we're going through right now, we're working to update our curriculum that I was talking about in the trunks. And it's going to include a whole bunch of neat books and maps and stuff related to that history that we didn't have in there before.
Well, how neat. I'm glad that those fourth graders can really get an enriching experience from those. I imagine the museum being a little bit tiny couldn't, you know, accommodate 260 kids from one grade level all at once or anything like that.
Well, yes and no. If we have a grade that has 200 some kids, sometimes they'll come over a 2-day period. And then we're pretty creative with our field trips. So we certainly can't fit 200 of them in the cabin, but we can divide them up. And so we have living history performers that will do a performance in nearby Slavonian Hall. And some kids will do crafts and games outside. Other kids will be here in the cabin learning about Job Carr, and then when they're done, they rotate them all out. So then the kids that were doing the living history performance, they come into the cabin, and the other kids go outside to play. So we can do field trips with well over 100 kids at a time, and just with the help of our volunteers and living history performers and great staff, we're able to do it.
Who are your actors that do the living history? I grew up on the East Coast, and so I have really fond memories of Plymouth Plantation and Old Sturbridge Village.
Usual one is Karen Haas, and she's a local living history performer, and she does work for us, I believe, and many other museums in the area. And she is a fantastic musician, so she'll do a display of Pioneer or performance of Pioneer instruments, and she's a really good storyteller. And we had her actually recently do an evening event at St. Peter's Church in Old Town, where she reenacted the lives of significant women in Old Town's history, including Job Carr's wife, which was pretty fascinating.
How fun. Now, are you a student or cheerleader of history? What's your connection to this?
Well, I did study history in school and college, and I've worked in small to medium-sized museums for my whole career. So I worked in a museum in Virginia for many years that was kind of centered around colonial history and Civil War history. And then I moved to Southern California, and I worked at a local museum there that had a lot of history of surfing. And then from there, we came up here and I'm working on Pioneer history. So I'm fascinated with any history, and I like the way it all connects to localities and kind of creates the present identity of cities.
So those are three really diverse areas that you've been in. What do you like about Tacoma?
About Tacoma's history or just about Tacoma in general?
Oh, I don't know. Give me both.
Well, I guess they're kind of related, but I think I like the kind of DIY spirit of Tacoma, and I think people that are making things are really appreciated here, and I think that Job Carr would have appreciated that as well. And I think people here really have a pride of place, and seem to really appreciate living here. People here are just generally pretty friendly, too.
I love it. Christopher, how can people learn more about the museum?
They can visit jobcarrmuseum.org, and that's our main website, and that has links to pretty much everything, all our information, all these events and things that we were talking about. And then we have a pretty active social media accounts. So our Instagram is jobcarrcabin, J-O-B-C-A-R-R, cabin. And if you look for us on Facebook, we're easy to find, Job Carr Cabin Museum. And we are on Twitter as well.
Christopher Ubelhar is the executive director of the Job Carr Cabin Museum. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Becky.
Dialing 311 will connect you to the City of Tacoma Non-Emergency Information Line. Dialing 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org, or you can call or text us at 253-330-8821. See you tomorrow.
KTQA LP 95.3 Tacoma.